It is a great honor and privilege and pleasure to be here with all of you on the auspicious occasion of the 12-hour kirtan in Dallas. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Satatam Kirtayan Tomam, that one should always engage in kirtan, or one should always engage in chanting the glories of Krishna. And in his Shikshastakam, Sri Krishna Chaitanya says the same thing. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. One should always engage in chanting the name of Hari or Krishna. And that is the ideal. There are liberated souls who chant the holy name almost 24 hours a day. They are hardly conscious of their bodies. They practically make no effort to maintain their bodies. But everything is arranged by the mercy of Krishna. Most of us are conditioned souls, or you could say liberated, but not in the fullest sense. But we can say liberated, but not to the extent that we can chant 24 hours a day. And so the 12-hour kirtan is an effort to encourage us to increase the time we have in chanting. We do have to take care of the body. One might say that living in Vrindavan or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri, it's easier to live. The climate is not as harsh, and the people are not as harsh, although they're getting harsher. But whatever the factors are, we may find ourselves in a situation where we have a house to maintain, a wife and children or parents to maintain. Or even if we're living alone, we may have to make some effort to meet expenses. And our acharyas explain that those efforts that are required to keep the body and soul together and fit for chanting the holy name are not a violation of the principle of Kirtaniya Sada Hari, because they are meant for the same purpose of Kirtaniya Sada Hari, but in a mood of support In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that there is a chakra, a wheel or a cycle, that culminates in the performance of sacrifice. All living entities subsist on food grains. Of course, we're meant to eat directly food grains, Krishna prasad. But now, due to artificial influences, people eat other things. But even then, let us say they eat the flesh of animals, but the animals ultimately eat food grains or other vegetation. So all living entities subsist on food grains, and food grains are produced by rain. Without rain, we cannot have food grains. We cannot get any of our necessities. We wear cotton cloth. That is also produced from rainfall. So in all aspects of our life, we're dependent on rainfall. And rains are produced by performance of sacrifice. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that in the beginning of creation, the Lord sent forth generations of demigods and men and told them, be happy by performance of sacrifice. For by performance of sacrifice, you will get whatever you need to live peacefully and happily in this life, and you will ultimately attain liberation. So, in previous ages, sacrifices were very elaborate and costly, but in the present age of Kali, the sacrifice has been simplified, Sankirtan. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayari Yajanti Sumedasa. Those who are intelligent will worship the incarnation of God for the present age, that means Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the performance of Sankirtan Yajna. And that is what we are doing. There are many practical incidents. In India, there was a big drought in Hyderabad. And when Srila Prabhupada and the devotees performed a Hare Krishna festival in Hyderabad, the rains came after a long, long time. And even the newspapers commented that the rains came from the Hare Krishna festival. And one year there was another big drought, coincidentally, we visited the Venkateshwar temple in Tirupati, and they were doing some yajna. It had been going on for some time, doing some yajna to get rain. And the very day that we went and perform Sankirtan, the rains came. So, it is practical. Sankirtan Yogi. And there's another important verse in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that explains that food which is eaten for one's own bodily nourishment or sense gratification is actually sinful. Srila Prabhupada says you're actually eating lumps of sin. But food taken as the remnants of sacrifice free one from all sins. And therefore, whatever we eat is offered first to Krishna, and we take the remnants as prasad. We'll discuss this a little more when we come to today's verse. But that is a very important principle. That we have to purify our senses in order to properly chant the holy name. And that purification of the senses begins with the tongue. And as Srila Prabhupada explains, the tongue has two functions, vibrating and tasting. And so we engage in service with the tongue. It sounds very odd to engage in service with the tongue. But we engage in service with the tongue by vibrating the holy names of the Lord and by tasting Krishna prasad. It's very easy, but the tongue is so, it's just this little muscle in our mouth, but it's so powerful. It just, in spite of all our good intentions, that little muscle will talk about so many other things besides Krishna. We know kirtaniya sadahari satatam kirtayantam mam, but that little 1-inch muscle is so difficult to control. And we know we're supposed to take only Krishna prasad, but that tongue takes us to different places where we buy food not prepared by devotees. And Krishna will only accept offerings from devotees. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachiti. It says, Krishna says, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf of fruit, or some water, a flower or some water, with love and devotion, I will accept. So Krishna accepts offerings only from devotees. But we go to the store and we see different things not prepared by devotees, not offerable to Krishna, and we want them. Or some
even go to restaurants. And it's not prasad.
So this ornery 1-inch muscle really exerts a very powerful influence on our lives. And it can be engaged in seva and bring us to Krishna, or it can be engaged in maya and take us away from Krishna. And therefore, the scriptures and our acharyas advise us to control the tongue first. If we can control the tongue, then the other senses that come in a line, the tongue, the belly, the genitals, the others can be controlled. But if the tongue is uncontrolled, then it's very hard to control the others. So I will speak briefly on a verse that is on the board that tells us a little bit about what the holy name is. And this discussion is also part of the process. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has written that Harikatha means talks about Krishna, Krishna consciousness. That Harikatha is like the Swarup Shakti of Harinam. And he says that just as Krishna is always accompanied by his Swarup Shakti or Radharani, similarly, Harinam should always be accompanied by Harikatha. Otherwise, that Harinam is considered to be imperfectly or improperly performed. So these discussions are part of the process of purification and of developing faith in Harinam, which is the basis of our progress. So, please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Swara Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Swara Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Swara Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Swara
Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Swara Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Swara Bhakta Vrinda.
So, just a little bit more about the tongue, since we're on that subject, and my tongue wants to talk about it some more, and I'm helpless to do anything about it. The tongue, the mind is the sensor, center of the senses. And as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the tongue is the most voracious and difficult to control. So the mind is very influenced by the tongue. And the mind can convince us, although we might not need that much convincing, the mind might convince us that we should make an exception to the rule of taking only Krishna prasad. And there may be exceptions. They say there's an exception to every rule. There may be an exception. But exception means exception. It doesn't mean that the exception becomes the standard. So, I'll tell two stories from my own degraded life as an aspiring devotee. The first one was in Pakistan. And we developed quite a good friendship with a Muslim, very highly placed Muslim advocate. And he was very helpful to us because one of our devotees was arrested. American devotees was arrested and put in jail. And we consulted people and they said he would be the best because he was like the top lawyer, one of the top lawyers, if not the top lawyer in Karachi. And he was very favorable to Hindus. In fact, he was very good friends with one of our life members. And he liked vegetarian food. And it was a pleasure to work with him. But politics is such that, like, people explained to me that in Pakistan, the police and other authorities, they don't really mind that much about the religion part, but they will find some excuse to threaten you with legal action on religious grounds in order to procure a bribe. And so it happened that one of our first friends, really first good supporter in Karachi, Mr. Gangwani, he had devotees, the first devotees, some of the first devotees, they stayed in his house. And, you know, after some days, you know, boom, 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 knock on the door, it's the police. We understand you have Hare Krishna devotees staying with you. Well, what did it come to? They wanted some paisa. That's some money. That's all it came to. So, Mr. Gangwani and the lawyer were very good friends. So after some time, the lawyer, because he's on a very high level, he got a phone call from one of the government secretaries. I think he got two. One from one of the government secretaries and one from the inspector general of police, like the highest officer in the police departments, saying that we understand that Hare Krishna devotees are frequently visiting you. This has to stop. So then we couldn't go that often, and we had to like wear shalwar kameez or something a little more ethnic. So at the end of the whole ordeal, the devotee was freed. And the lawyer wanted to celebrate. He had a huge mansion and a very large, expansive lawn and gardens enclosed in a compound wall. So he had a big feast. He had a big feast, invited a lot of important Muslims as well. So looking at the different items, and it was like a buffet style. Not exactly, they had buffet, but they had these bain maries that keeps it hot, and then there were all these waiters in uniforms, you know. And, you know, there's always a little pressure. Oh, you Swamiji, you're not eating. So my mind, looking at all these delicacies, thought, well, you know, it's for preaching, and he did so much to help us, and you know, it's a special occasion. So, I mean, I was a little cautious, but not that cautious. And so I took things on my plate, and then it's a little rich and heavy, but, you know, I took it. So I ate it. And when I got back to our apartment that night, I mean, Srila Prabhupada, at one stage he predicted that the Third World War would begin between India and Pakistan. It was like it was beginning in my stomach. It was like the bombs were exploding. It was like just devastation, which I could not contain. So anyway, then I realized, okay, this is a message. There can be exceptions, but really, anyway, I never made that mistake again. No cheating, in other words. The mind is always cheating. And then, much later, when I became, more serious about my, I guess I was sort of serious, but it was a different context, but about japa. And I think it was like some sort of family function that I was expected to attend. I don't even remember the details. But anyway, I ate something. I mean, sometimes with family you sort of do have to make an exception. But anyway, it wasn't like a very explosive reaction. It was more subtle. And so when I went to chant my japa, I felt it wasn't the same as usual. There was something, I couldn't immediately think of what it was. You know, we think, okay, well, what is it? Did I commit some offense? You know, what is it? Why am I not able to chant in the same way as usual? And then I made the connection. Oh, I ate that food. And as soon as I made that connection, that little cloud that was hovering over my japa, it sort of lifted. And it was, okay, you know, Krishna's trying to show me that I have to be careful. Because the consciousness of the cook enters the food you eat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that if you eat food prepared by Maya bodies or worldly minded people, it will affect your consciousness and impede your remembrance of Krishna. So these can be experienced. But yeah, even if you're not able to perceive the difference that clearly, but on the faith of the scriptures and our previous authorities, you should follow the process, because you know you'll only really be able to experience that nectar in a consistent way if you do follow the process. I mean, it's Krishna's mercy. We do get glimpses, and especially, you know, in an assembly of devotees all focused on chanting the holy name, and especially, you know, with Madhava Prabhu or other devotees who will be blessing us with their association. The bhakti in their hearts affects our hearts. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends to chant in the association of pure devotees. We struggle, but it becomes so much easier in the association of pure devotees, or in the association of devotees who have faith in the holy name and taste in the holy name. And His Holiness Ratatrastra Swami and I chant Rapa together a lot. And we both feel that our japa flows more easily when we're with the other person. So that association helps. And I never would have guessed it if he hadn't told me. I mean, I was feeling it about him, but I wasn't thinking he would be feeling it about me. But it works like that. It works like that. Like I think of this story with His Holiness Niranjan Swami. He had been staying with me in Santa Barbara for almost 2 months, and he was getting ready to leave. And the night before he was to leave, you know, I visited him. We were just talking, and I mentioned His Holiness Gaur-Govinda Swami Maharaj, because I knew that His Holiness Niranjan Swami had a lot of faith in him. And I asked him, do you pray to him? And he said, yes, I do. He said, in fact, I pray to you also. That every morning I pray to then whoever, you know, Gaur-Govinda Swami, Shivaram Swami, Indradumya Swami, Govinda Swami, me. So I heard it, but it was sort of late in the evening, and I knew he was leaving the next morning. So I just let it go. I had other things on my mind. Then the next morning, just a little before he was to leave, I phoned him on the intercom, and I said, you know what you said about that you prayed to me too? Is that really true? And he said, yes, it is. I think maybe that's when he mentioned the list. And then I said, wow, that's amazing, because I also pray to you. And then he said, well, I don't know how that works, because I'm depending on the mercy I get from all of you. So um, Anyway, whether it's mutually beneficial or whether we're the only ones who benefit by chanting with some advanced devotee, we should, and that's why you're all here, well, to chant in the association of all the devotees, and perhaps especially because Madhava Prabhu is here. So that is something that we can do easily. Means it's an effect that we can feel easily, but we may have to make the effort to get the association. So actually, on that subject of association, you know, it's sort of a phenomenon that if you present yourself as being very strong in a certain way, Krishna will send a test that exposes you that you're not really that strong in that area. So, so Ratatva Goswami sort of confidentially confided in me that he'd made a statement. It wasn't really made in a boastful way, but he made a statement that could sound a little boastful, and he was like, immediately realized, oh, I made a mistake. And he immediately prayed to Krishna, please, Krishna, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, I'll never do it again. Don't expose me, and, you know, don't test me, don't send your bewildering potency to, you know, just, I will never do it again, please. So that I mentioned how, you know, I've taken up this subject of writing about death and dying. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, the Bhagavad Gita is all, it's Arjuna's facing the prospect of death everywhere. Srimad Bhagavatam is Maharaj Parikshit awaiting his death. What to do in preparation? How to spend his time? So I said, I'm writing about death and dying, but, you know, sometimes, like, I'm afraid of death. It's like sort of embarrassing. And Ratatva Goswami said, sometimes I'm afraid and sometimes I'm not. And I said, yeah, that's the way I am. And then he said, if I could be assured that in my next life, I would have this kind of association like I have with you and other dear God brothers, then I wouldn't be afraid. And then he said, I've actually worked very hard for many years to be able to have these relationships. And if I could have these relationships with you or similar relationships in my next life, I wouldn't be afraid of death. He said, I have whatever I need. You know? And we're not talking about anything luxurious, but, you know, he said from the time he joined, whatever he needed, he got. Whatever he needed to keep his body and soul together to serve Krishna. I haven't asked Madhava recently. We haven't discussed it for quite a while. But somehow he's getting what he needs. And performing kirtan is very delicate because it all depends on the purity. You know, Ayendra Prabhu, of course, any pure devotee would say the same thing, that you can't perform kirtan to get money. Like Srila Prabhupada always criticized the professional Bhagavat reciters. So it's the same idea. You can't perform kirtan to get money. There's one sort of well-known Vaishnav in Varsana, who also has taught some devotees from ISKCON music. And the condition was, you cannot use this for any commercial purpose. I will teach you, but only on the condition that you promise me you will not use this to make money in any way. It can be only for the glorification of the Lord. So like I said, I haven't looked into it, but he's chanting the holy name, he's traveling all over the world. He's getting what he needs. So that's all we need. Since I've surrendered so much to my tongue, the introduction that I was giving to the verse while the devotees were writing it on the board has become three quarters of the class. But I will briefly read this verse and the following verse because they're very important and they will help prepare us for this wonderful final kirtan that we're all looking forward to. I'm looking forward to it, to be led by Madhava Prabhu. So we won't chant responsibly, but the words are there, you can see them. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 17. The Lord travels to Vrindavan. Text 133. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashudo Nityamukto Vinatpam Namanamino. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashudo Nityamukto Vinatpam Namanamino. So now I'll read the synonyms, and we can do these responsibly because it will help you understand the ingredients of the verse, which means the ingredients or the qualities of the holy name. So please repeat. Nama.
Nama.
The holy name.
The holy name.
Chintamani.
Chintamani.
Transcendentally blissful giver.
Transcendentally blissful giver.
Of all spiritual benedictions.
Of all spiritual benedictions.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Not different from Krishna.
Not different from Krishna.
Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha.
Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha.
The form of all transcendental mellows.
The form of all transcendental mellows.
Purna.
Purna.
Complete.
Complete.
Shuddha.
Shuddha.
Pure.
Pure.
Without material contamination.
Without material contamination.
Nitya.
Nitya.
Eternal. Mukta.
Mukta.
Liberated.
Liberated.
Abhinatvat.
Abhinatvat.
Due to not being different.
Due to not being different.
Nama.
Nama.
Of the holy name.
Of the holy name.
Namino.
Namino.
And of the person who has the name.
And of the person who has the name.
Translation. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. So the last line, Abhinatvam Namanamino, the name and the person named are the same. That's the basic principle. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the material world, a person and his body and his name are all different. Suppose I want Nam Ruchi Das. So if I just chant Nam Ruchi Das, Nam Ruchi Das, Nam Ruchi Das, it doesn't mean that Nam Ruchi Das will appear. Because because the name Nam Ruchi Das and the person Nam Ruchi Das are different. But if I chant Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna is there. Because Krishna and his name are not different. They're the same. And in the conditioned state, the person's body and the soul are different. I may have who I think is the person, but if the soul leaves, the body's there, but the person is gone. But with Krishna, he's absolute. There's no difference between his body and soul, they're all spiritual. And there's no difference between his name and himself. They're all the same on the absolute platform. So, how can we approach the absolute platform? This is a very interesting question. We're conditioned souls. There's a difference between our body and soul. Our senses are contaminated. How can we actually chant the holy name and hear the holy name? So that answer is given in the next verse. I gave a hint of it already, so I needn't say much more. Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriya Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Swayam Eva Sparachyada. Please repeat. Well, if you know the verse by heart, Atasi Krishna Namadi
Atasi Krishna Namadi
Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai
Nabhaved
Sevan Mukhi Jivado
Sevan Mukhi Jivado
Swayam eva sparatyadaha.
Swayam eva
sparatyadaha.
Ata.
Therefore.
Therefore.
Because Krishna's name, form, quality, and all are, excuse me, because Krishna's name, form, quality are all. On the absolute platform.
On the absolute platform.
Sri Krishna Namadi.
Sri Krishna Namadi.
Lord Krishna's name, form.
Lord Krishna's name, form.
Quality, pastimes.
Quality, pastimes.
And so on.
And so on.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Bhavet.
Bhavet.
Can be.
Can be.
Grayam.
Grayam.
Perceived.
Perceived.
Indriyai.
Indriyai.
By the blunt material senses. Alright, so this is the first half of the shloka. Ata, therefore, because Krishna's name, form, qualities, and so on, are all on the absolute platform, Nabhavedgrayam Indre, they cannot be perceived through these senses. This is a very significant point. We can't perceive them with these senses. So what can we do? How do we get out of this darkness, this predicament, this impasse? Then the next half. Seva unmuke.
Seva unmuke.
To one engaged in his service.
To one engaged in his service.
He certainly.
Certainly.
Jiva.
Jiva.
Tongue.
Tongue.
Ado.
Ado.
Beginning with.
Beginning with.
Swayam.
Swayam.
Personally.
Personally.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Spurati.
Spurati.
Becomes manifest.
Becomes manifest.
Ada.
Ada.
Those.
Those.
Krishna's name.
Krishna's name.
Form.
Form.
Quality.
Quality.
And so on.
And so on.
Translation. Therefore, material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified, and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. In other words, when we use the tongue in serving Krishna, by tasting the remnants of prasad and chanting the holy name and glories of Krishna, Krishna reveals himself. So, seva is so important. Many times when Lord Chaitanya was approached by his devotees from Kulinagram, what is our duty? Every year they came to Jagannath Puri and asked him. And each time he replied that your duty is to chant the holy names of Krishna and serve the devotees of Krishna. The two go together. Seva. Seva mukhihi jivago. And when we serve the Lord, serve the devotees, the Lord reveals himself to us, specifically in the form of his holy name, because that's why we've gathered, but in the form of the deity, in the form of the Holy Scripture, in the form of the devotees, in the form of the Dham, Krishna reveals himself. So we should take every opportunity to render service. And studying the lives of some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who attained very good destinations, a common factor was their spirit of service. Selfless service, not wanting anything in return. And the first was Jayananda Prabhu. His Holiness Gunagrai Maharaj approached me. He heard I was writing a book about some departed Vaishnavas, and he said somehow he never got a chance to speak about his association with Jayananda Prabhu. He wanted to, so he asked if I could interview him. And he told me so many wonderful things about Jayananda Prabhu, but one that seems relevant on this subject of service. Like, generally, if we're in the temple and someone is supposed to do some service and doesn't show up or phones in or sends an email or a text message that I can't do my service, it's like, oh, darn. Jayananda Prabhu, whenever someone couldn't do his service, he would say, great news, Prabhus! So-and-so's not coming to do his service. Jai, there's more service for us to do. Hari Bol! And he meant it. I mean, that was, I couldn't do it the way he did it, but, but he meant it. It wasn't just saying it. It wasn't just a device. He actually meant it. He welcomed every opportunity to do service. So we should be like that. Always in the mood of service, always in the mood to chant the holy name. And that will assure our complete perfection. When we chant, we're calling the names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna, or their combined form, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so if you call someone's name and then they, yes, what do you want? So if they ask, what do you want, what will we say? If Krishna came to you and asked you, I've come, what do you want? What just passed through your mind? I won't ask you. I won't embarrass you or myself. But a pure devotee, or even someone aspiring to be a pure devotee, will ask for service. And therefore, this chant, the chanting of the holy name, is a prayer for service. O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. And that service can be in different ways and on different levels. But that's what we're doing. We're begging, pleading, crying, Radha, Krishna, Mahaprabhu, Vaishnavas, please engage me in your service. And then, if they give us some service, like someone doesn't show up, Well, we were just praying for service. We should see that as a response to our prayer. So this seva, Mahaprabhu's instruction, always chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas. These two processes go together, and each one enforces the other, reinforces the other. And japa also, japa and kirtan, each one reinforces the other. So, without further ado, I think we can now try to practice what we just heard and said. It's a little unclear, because usually Prabhupada would take questions. And if it was an important question and a relevant question, it could add to the discussion. So, and this is not to put you on the spot, because, I mean, it's not like if you raise your hand, it means you're saying you're important or anything. But no, if you have a question that is meaningful to you, it could be meaningful to others, and is relevant to the topic, you could raise your hand. Dharma Prabhu.
Thank you for a beautiful class. I had a question. Tonight we'll do kirtan, it may go a little bit late. But no matter how, early we go to bed, sometimes it's really hard to get up in the morning. And we feel so inspired now from what you told us, but it seems to just ebb away. And then come 3 a.m. tomorrow, it's just not there. It's too easy to just go back to sleep. How do we make ourselves get up? Do you have a strategy?
Well, we all need support. You know, we all need help. I remember there's some circumstances, and Jai Dwaita Swami and I went to Spain. And we were sleeping together on the floor of the temple president's office. And as he was getting into his sleeping bag, he told me, you know, at such and such time, you must wake me up. I think maybe 3:45. And you tell me it's time to get up. And then you tell me, and if I still don't get up, you tell me louder. And if I still don't get up, you touch me. And if I still don't get up, you put water on my face. And whatever I tell you in the morning, don't follow that. But follow what I'm telling you now. So, you know, he was serious about it. But the other, of course, is to have something positive to look forward to. Because a lot of the time we think, well, what's waiting for me if I get out of bed? Like, better just stay in bed a little longer. But if we think, there's nothing personal in this. it's a general principle. But if we think, oh boy, you know, I can, you know, go to the temple, you know, chant with the devotees, and so that can
serve as an impetus.
But it is, it's very tricky because, you know, we don't want to eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. But if you've had enough sleep, then that should be the positive that, you know, and that it's like the more good experiences you have, the more it increases your eagerness to have more good experiences. And, you know, Prabhupada, in the early days, he had us read the Krishna book at night before taking rest. And that's very good to put one's mind in a proper condition. And that sort of helps prepare the mind for the next morning. And then when you chant the next morning, those pastimes of Krishna are in your mind, and they may automatically come to mind when you chant. Yeah, it's good if you have someone to do this together with. You want to add anything out of a group?
I'm just telling Kapila, instead of having one on the long term, have four.
Oh, Madhava said he was just telling one devotee, instead of having one alarm clock, have four. Jai Shishi Radha Kalachandji. Alright, thank you. We were looking for one sincere, serious, intelligent, important question, and we got it. So now we can have kirtan for the pleasure of Shishi Radha Kalachandji, Shishi Gauri Chai, Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, and all the devotees. Hare Krishna.